Ukraine security issue.
On July 22nd, the 149th day of Ukraine's heroic resistance to Russian invaders, the Ukrainian armed forces continued to hold the line while actively destroying Russian military resources. According to the General Staff's latest update, since its full-scale invasion, Russia has lost about 39,000 troops, more than 6,500 aircraft and almost 4,000 armored vehicles. Vadim Skibitsky, spokesman for the Defense Ministry's main intelligence directorate, said that Russia had used up more than half of its high-precision weapons. According to him, the production of new modern weapons is currently suspended due to international sanctions. Russia stopped producing Iskander ballistic missiles because many components were of foreign make. At the same time, it still has significant amounts of Soviet-era weapons, he said.
Стосовно високоточного озброєння, це системи ті ж самі Іскандер, Калібр.
As for their high-precision weapons, such as Iskander and Caliber missile systems, and airborne cruise missiles, such as X-101 and X-555, we estimate that the Russian army has spent 55-60% of those missiles that it had before the war, said Vadim Skibitsky. Analysts with the Washington-based Institute for the Study of War forecast a culmination of the Russian offensive in the Donbas in the nearest weeks. They maintain that the Russian army will hardly be able to capture the strategic cities of Slovyansk and Bakhmut, Donetsk region. The forecasts proceed from reports about the Russian forces, dwindling men and firepower in localized attacks on small and less important villages along the entire front line in the region. In particular, they are still unable to launch a direct offensive on Bakhmut and have stopped trying to storm Slovyansk. They have made no significant territorial gains in the region since early July. Merciless and indiscriminate bombardments of Ukrainian cities continue. Every day, innocent civilians are killed and wounded. Among others, the Russians target towns and villages located near the Russian border in the Chernihiv and Sumy regions, that were liberated back in early April. Since then, Ukrainian border guards have recorded more than 900 strikes from Russian territory and more than 50 from Russian aircraft. According to the State Border Service, the enemy forces mostly use barrel and rocket artillery and mortars, often firing for several hours. They also fire from grenade launchers, machine guns, and weapons mounted on armored vehicles. Facts of pillage and abductions in the occupied territories are growing in number. The National Information Bureau has received more than 5,000 reports about forcible deportation of Ukrainian children to Russia and areas occupied earlier. They remove orphaned children and children forcefully separated from their parents, said Daria Hersimchuk, authorized presidential advisor on children's rights and rehabilitation. All such facts are recorded and studied in detail, and then we search for deported children with the help of international organizations. Since the start of the war, we have managed to bring back home 46 forcefully deported little Ukrainians, Herasimchuk said. Just one story. 11-year-old Sashko was in Mariupol with his mother. The city was blockaded and totally destroyed, and he and his mother were taken to the occupied part of the Donetsk region. There, the woman was kicked out of the hospital and the boy was left alone. His mother's whereabouts are still unknown. The boy managed to get in touch with his grandmother, so we managed to reunite him with his family, said Daria Herasimchuk. Russian soldiers rob and destroy Ukrainian industrial enterprises and farms. Moreover, their actions there are fraught with disastrous accidents. In Melitopol, Zaporizhia region, the occupiers seized a factory that produces silencers for trucks and tractors. Some of its premises were rented by a company producing medical and industrial oxygen. According to Melitopol Mayor Ivan Fedorov, the occupiers used the premises for storing and maintaining their vehicles, which is extremely dangerous, and their personnel are accommodated in schools and kindergartens. It's with purpose that they choose the most densely populated areas of the city. They want to have a human shield, said Ivan Fedorov. Russian occupiers continue to rob Ukrainian farmers and export Ukrainian grain. According to Mykola Gorbachev, president of the Ukrainian Grain Association, the losses of Ukraine's agriculture sector amount to $20 billion. Before the full-scale war, grain from Ukraine helped to feed 400 million people around the world. Now the supply chain is broken, as the sea export route is unavailable due to the blockade of Ukrainian ports by the Russians, he said. We tried to find alternative ways to export grain. We used small Danube ports, we used border crossings to Romania, and we tried to export it by rail. But all that taken together did not even suffice for exporting half the grain that we had exported from our seaports. Therefore, we can already say with certainty that African countries will not receive grain, and that's about 45 million people. So the international community must find ways to deliver Ukrainian grain to Africa. And the only possible way is to unblock the ports, said Микола Горбачов.
Українське зерно доставити туди до Африки. І єдиний шлях – це розблокування портів.
On Friday, delegations from Ukraine, Turkey and Russia met in Istanbul to negotiate a United Nations-mediated deal on unblocking Ukrainian seaports for exporting Ukrainian grain. Before the talks, Ukrainian Foreign Ministry spokesman Oleh Nikolenko said that Ukraine would seek guarantees of security for its southern regions, the strong positions of its armed forces in the Black Sea, and safe export of Ukrainian agriculture products. At 5:30 p.m. Friday, it was reported that the Ukraine, Turkey, and the United Nations had just signed a binding document titled Initiative for Safe Transportation of Grain and Food from Ukrainian Ports. The same document was signed by Turkey, the United Nations, and Russia.